Translation and purport by Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Kartavirya Arjuna thought that Jamadagni was more powerful and wealthy than himself because of possessing a jewel in the form of the Kamadhenu. Therefore, he and his own men, the Haihayas, were not very much appreciative of Jamadagni's reception. On the contrary, they wanted to possess that Kamadhenu which was useful for the execution of the Agnihotra sacrifice. Purport. Jamadagni was more powerful than Kartavirya Arjuna because of performing the Agnihotra Yajna with clarified butter received from the Kamadhenu. Not everyone can be expected to possess such a cow. Nonetheless, an ordinary man may possess an ordinary cow, give protection to this animal, take sufficient milk from it, and engage the milk to produce butter and clarified ghee, especially for performing the Agnihotra Yajna. This is possible for everyone. Thus we find that in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna advises Goraksha, the protection of cows. This is essential because if cows are cared for properly, they will surely supply sufficient milk. We have practical experience in America that in our various ISKCON farms, we are giving proper protection to the cows and receiving more than enough milk. In other farms, the cows do not deliver as much milk as in our farms because our cows know very well that we are not going to kill them. They are happy and they give ample milk. Therefore, this instruction given by Lord Krishna, Goraksha, is extremely meaningful. The whole world must learn from Krishna how to live happily without scarcity simply by producing food grains, ananda bhavanti bhutani, and giving protection to the cows, goraksha. Krishi goraksha vanijyam vaishya karma svabhavajam. Those who belong to the third level of human society, namely the mercantile people, must keep land for producing food grains and giving protection to cows. This is the injunction of Bhagavad Gita. In the matter of protecting the cows, the meat-eaters will protest. But in answer to them, we may say that since Krishna gives stress to cow protection, those who are inclined to eat meat may eat the flesh of unimportant animals like hogs, dogs, goats and sheep. But they should not touch the life of the cows, for this is destructive to the spiritual advancement of human society. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Namaum Vishnu Pradaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vashatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvise Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shradha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I really want to thank all of you to give me the opportunity to speak few words. And I am very grateful to the authorities of the temple who has given this opportunity. In this particular verse, what we see here and in the previous verses about Kartavirya Arjuna, who was such a powerful personality, a powerful king, a powerful leader, traveling with so many of his soldiers, and he has arrived in the ashram of Jamadagni, and seeing the great fortune of the saint Jamadagni, he is disturbed. Instead of becoming happy with association of saint Jamadagni, he is dissatisfied by what he is possessing. What Kamadhenu Gau, what Jamadagni has, he is affected by that, and what he wants is that he wants to possess that cow. He is not recognizing that all the gifts which Krishna has given him, instead of that, he is becoming envious and greedy about what Jamadagni has. He could not appreciate the hospitality of Jamadagni, neither he could appreciate the gifts which Krishna has given to him. And because of this, he is missing out the chance of associating with such a great sage. We understand that when we do not appreciate the gifts which Krishna has given us in the form of association, in the form of all the different gifts which Krishna has given us, if we are ungrateful, at that time our mind starts getting disturbed and mind starts getting attracted to the negative qualities. I was reading from Mahabharata a very beautiful discussion between the great king Yudhishthir and Bhishma Pitama, and where he is asking many questions, and one of his questions was, what is that one virtue, which is the greatest virtue, by which if you practice that virtue, you become lovable by all? And in reply to this question, Bhishma Pitama narrates a beautiful story. He says there is a great yogi whose name was Jabali. He used to perform lot of tapasya and he used to lot of austerities, lot of fasting and sometimes standing on one leg for years. So at one point of time when he was doing this tapasya, he had a big jata, and in his hair, two parrots came and made a nest, and they started staying there. And then they started laying their eggs. And Saint Jabali was very compassionate. He did not move at all, so that the birds don't get disturbed. The birds laid eggs, then slowly from the eggs, they were small birds. They used to fly at different place, come back in the evening, and Jabali would not move because he would not want to get them disturbed. And he did that for quite some time, till the time he realized that the small birds also have become big, and now they have left the nest, and now there is no requirement of this nest. And when he came out of that meditation, he started praising himself. That see, such a great austerity I have performed, and how compassionate I am. And at that time, there was a voice from the sky which said, Jabali, there are people who are more righteous and more virtuous than you. Go to Varanasi. There is a great merchant named Tuladhar. You go and meet Tuladhar and learn your lessons from him. And immediately Jabali became very disturbed, because he was thinking that he is a person who has done so much austerities and he is so compassionate and he is so kind. So he thought, let me meet this person. When he came to Varanasi, there was this merchant who approached him and said, come, O great sage Jabali, I am Tuladhar. And he was very surprised that how did you come to know that I am Jabali and I am supposed to meet you? And he started asking him a question, that I have been told that you are more virtuous than me. So immediately Tuladhar started first glorify Jabali, that you are so compassionate and you are so kind and you were so considerate for so many years. You allowed these parrots to stay in your hair. You are very, very great personality. But he said, why I heard that voice that you are better than me? What are you doing? I see that you are just a merchant. And you are doing your business, you are dealing with money, you are not performing any yagyas or any tapasya. How can you be more virtuous than me? Tell me about your qualities. What do you do? So he started mentioning that I am doing my business. I am selling something and I am buying things, but I do not cheat. I do take my profit, but I am very compassionate to other living entities. I practice austerity. I do not harm any living entity and I am not envious of anybody. I do not hate anybody and I am always contented in whatever Lord gives me. But he was not satisfied. Jabali was not satisfied. That how can this make you better than me? And at that time, those two parrots, the two birds, came to him and started talking to him. I said, we are the messengers of dharma. And the principle of dharma is, whenever there is envy and dissatisfaction, you lose dharma. Saying, in your case, you became proud and you became envious that how can somebody is better than you? And at that time, actually you lost your dharma. So we see here also, in case of Kartavirya Arjuna, first he became disturbed, dissatisfied, envious, and then the next thing was greed. What is greed? Let us understand what is greed. Greed is that endless desire to possess more and more and more. And greed begins with to get an object of desire. There is an object of desire and you want to possess that. And when you want to possess that, you will not think of how you will get it, whether it will disturb others or not. Somehow or other you just want it. You want it for yourself and whatever way you can get it, you want to do it. Greed will control your mind, dictate your thoughts, and then it will ultimately turn out into your actions. It is not that the greed with your eyes or greed with your hands. It is greed in your mind. We see that whenever anything, either whether it is envy, anger, lust, greed, it begins in our mind. We see many times nowadays in television, there are so many channels which are coming, right? Sometimes there are 500 channels coming from different countries all over the world. And just with a remote control, you press a button and you can, sitting in London, you can see something which is happening on Australia, or sitting in London, you can see something which is happening in India, or somewhere in USA. How can this happen? Because all the frequencies are already there in the air. What you tune into, that you can see. So similarly, surrounding us, there are all the frequencies. The frequencies of the anarthas and the frequencies of good deeds. There are frequencies of gratitude, love, joy, happiness. And there are also frequencies of anger, envy, greed, lust. What your mind tunes into, that will actually happen too. But that you will possess that. And here we see that Kartavirya Arjuna, even though he had so many gifts given by Krishna, we see in the verses before that he has almost all the six opulences which Krishna possesses, maybe in much lesser quantity, but he had all the quality, all the opulences. Still, instead of becoming grateful, the moment he saw that Jamadagni has a Kamadhenu cow, for performing what? Agnihotra sacrifice. Jamadagni was not with that Kamadhenu doing something like conquering the world or he wanted to destroy somebody. He was simply in his ashram performing his duties. He was not affected by that Kamadhenu cow. But Kartavirya Arjuna, as even though he had so many things, just by seeing that Kamadhenu cow, the benefits of that cow, he wanted to possess that cow. So here we see the combination of envy and then greed. Greed means there is an object of desire and you want to possess that and you will do anything to possess that. You will not think whether it is good for me or how much harm I can cause or how much destruction I can cause. So we can see here Kartavirya Arjuna is an example, a typical example of an insecure leader. A person who is insecure, he is always affected by what other people possess. He is constantly thinking, constantly comparing that whether others are doing better than him or he has the best things. He has a constant fear that if somebody else does better than him, then he may take this position. And another thing about insecure leader is that because they are insecure, if they always want to take things from others and never want to give to others. They are the takers and not the givers. And we can see typically in the example of Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan. And Dhritarashtra, Maharaj Dhritarashtra was an insecure leader. He was constantly worried about his position, constantly fearful. And Duryodhan, his son, was insecure, who always wanted to possess more and more. The moment he would see that Pandavas have acquired some better wealth or better kingdom, he wanted to possess that. Constantly there is greed and there is fear of losing their position. Another characteristics of an insecure leader is he feels threatened by others' success. When he sees somebody successful, somebody is being very successful, he is threatened. Why does this happen? Insecurity arises because the person wants to take up the position of God and wants to think that everybody else is subordinate to me and I am the best, I am the greatest. We can see so many examples of insecure leader in our scriptures. Beginning from the king of heaven, Indraji. Whenever he sees, he is staying in heavenly planet. Even on earthly planet or any other planet, whenever somebody is trying to do some sacrifice, and we see in the case of Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj was performing sacrifices, and as a king of demigods, he's supposed to accept those sacrifices. He's supposed to accept the offerings. And he was accepting that, but as soon as he realized that 99 sacrifices are over, and now Prithu is going to perform the 100th sacrifice, he was very disturbed. And what did he want to do? He wanted to somehow or other stop that sacrifice. We can see in the case of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was such a powerful king that everybody would bow down to him. Just with the one raise of his eyebrows, the earth would produce whatever fruit he wanted. The sun would change the temperature. If he wanted, when we have to change the temperature, we have to take so much efforts. But here Hiranyakashipu just look at the sun and sun will change the temperature. He was so powerful. But as soon as he came to know that Prahlad does not want to accept his authority, he immediately was disturbed. Even though Prahlad was his own son, he was very, very disturbed and he became very insecure. We can also see in case of Suruchi. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when the Suruchi saw that Dhruva wanted to sit in the lap of her husband, immediately she became insecure and she made sure that she insulted Dhruva and got him down from that chair. So insecurity, in fact in our lives also we must have experienced that when the second child comes, the first child becomes insecure. He starts feeling that, now all my love of my parents will be shared by the younger brother or the younger sister. In India, the 7th wonder is Taj Mahal. And Shah Jahan, when he made Taj Mahal, what he did? He cut off the hands of all the workers who made that Taj Mahal. Why? Because he did not want anybody else to make a second Taj Mahal. So there is constant insecurity. You can see in case of Kartavirya Arjun. Now let us see who is a secure leader. How a secure leader behaves himself. A secure leader is a person who has a very, very strong character. And this character comes from three things: strong integrity, maturity, and abundance mentality. Integrity means walk your talk. What you think, you speak. What you speak, you act. We can see in the case of Vasudev. Vasudev gave his words to Kamsa that as soon as I give, my wife will give birth to any child, I will bring that child in front of you. And he did it. We can see in case of Yudhishthir Maharaj that he was such a secure king that he always, even though his brothers sometimes, even though he was a king and Arjun was more powerful than him, or sometimes Bhima showed some great victory and so many things, but still he was not affected by them. He always praised them, and that's how we can see that all the five Pandava brothers, they work together. A secure person never feels threatened. He never gets threatened by other successes. And he knows what are his strengths and what are his weaknesses. He accepts his weaknesses. If he makes a mistake, he accepts that, takes the responsibility of that. But here in case of Kartavirya Arjuna, we see that Jamadagni is a secure leader who is not affected by Kartavirya Arjuna, and Kartavirya Arjuna is an insecure person who is affected by a simple sage and his possession of this Kamadhenu cow. So let us understand, we also sometimes in our Krishna consciousness, we may become insecure. If when we are doing some services and somebody else does the same service better, we feel a little insecure that how do I overcome this insecurity? There are different ways we can overcome insecurity. First, the simple step is take feedback. Take a positive feedback. When people give you feedback, be happy. Do not immediately try to defend yourself, but reflect on the feedback and work upon that feedback. Second way to overcome insecurity is serving and giving credit to others. We know in Krishna consciousness, the more responsibility we take on behalf of Guru and Krishna, more advancement we make in Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, when you take up any service, with that you also get appreciation, praise. But instead of taking the praise and appreciation for yourself, if you give that credit to others, then you are always protected. We see that in the battle of Kurukshetra, even before the battle began, Krishna showed to Arjuna that how actually he has killed all the enemy soldiers and he is the cause of victory. But still, he gave the victory cap to Arjuna and Pandavas and he gave credit to them. Even in our beloved Srila Prabhupada, they can see that it was impossible, even now if we think, that how can a 70 years old person, an Indian, travel at the age of 70, not by some jet planes, but by ships, and go to America, unknown place, unknown people, who may not even understand his language, but going there, struggling there, and establishing Krishna consciousness in all the Western countries. And whenever anybody gave credit to him, he said, "You all my disciples are specially sent by my spiritual master to me. Because I can do some service, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has sent all of you to me. And because of you I am able to do this service, so I am very, very grateful to you." So Srila Prabhupada did not take the credit. "Oh, I am the one who came and I have done all this." No. He gave credit to his spiritual master. In fact, he gave credit to his disciples that because of all of your help, I am able to do what I can do. The third and very important principle to overcome insecurity is to develop core Krishna consciousness. The root cause of envy, anger, greed is forgetfulness of our relationship with Krishna. Many times we realize that when we came to Krishna consciousness, we are very enthusiastic. And we learned a very simple principle. The first principle, the first lesson of our Krishna consciousness was, we are not this body and we are a spirit soul. And a spirit soul is part and parcel of Krishna. And our eternal position is to be servant of Krishna. But we forget that we are servants and we always want to do more and more and more. If not in right consciousness, then we may end up into great trouble. So to understand this, that how we are not the body and we are soul, we have to constantly remind ourselves. I'm actually involved into some spiritual researches at Bhaktivedanta Hospital, and one of my latest interests is into near-death experiences, where a patient's, either the cardiac patients or brain surgery patients or coma patients, many of them have this near-death experience. And when I was doing some research, I realized that there are many patients all over the world and many scientists and doctors who are doing research on this. And this proves that how we are not the body, and at the time of this near-death experience, the soul which is coming out of the body. What are the different stages? The research shows that many of the doctors, they say that my patient, I just did a cardiac surgery and I have put patient in ICU for 24 hours where he is unconscious. But when he became conscious, he told me what conversation I was having with the anesthetist during surgery. Or post-surgery in the corridor, how I was standing with another friend and what discussions I was having. Shri Radha Gokula Ananda Ki Jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. What discussions I was having with my colleague. And this one particular cardiac surgeon was telling that the most surprising to me was, he was lying on the second floor, my operation theater is on the fourth floor, and in my operation theater there are many rooms, and there's a small room where I am, my secretary or a nurse, when I am operating, if there is some serious case, you know, serious emergency, she takes the phone calls and she writes down all the messages on a small paper chit. And this patient, after 24 hours, who is unconscious, he gets up and he tells me whatever is written into my chits, all the messages. Saying, how is it possible for him to come in that room? In fact, he may not be even aware about that room. Then one of the another patient who was talking, that I saw my doctor and my nurse talking about me. And I went and told them, I was trying to touch them. Please look at me, I'm here. And they were discussing constantly about me, and they were standing next to a patient. And then slowly when they moved, I saw that was me. That body was mine. I was trying to talk to them. I could hear what they were telling me. They were talking about me, but they could not hear me. There was another patient who met with an accident, and he was telling that, said, as soon as I met with an accident, I came out of my body, and I was seeing that my wife, my sister and my mother, they are crying next to my body. My wife is trying to, you know, do some heart massage and trying to revive me, and my sister is telling he's gone. And I am trying to touch her and tell, no, I'm here. But she could not see me. She could not hear me. And most of them, they say after this, it is a very interesting experience. Most of these patients, they say that once they come out of the body, then very fast they see their entire life like a flashback video. All the experiences which they had, you know, happy experiences, unhappy experiences, where sometimes they have given pain to others or they have given happiness to others, they experience that. And they go through the entire life, and then the next thing which happens, they go through a tunnel and they see a bright light. Most of the patients see a bright light, except the suicidal cases. Those who are survival of suicide, they don't see the bright light. This is another research. I'm just telling you about the research. That those who are survival of suicide, they don't see this light. And most of the patients, they see this light and they feel that this is love, there is joy, and we are enveloped by that light, and we feel that this is the place I belong to, and I always want to be here. Most of these surgeons, cardiac surgeons, neurosurgeons, when they were documenting these researches, one thing they were saying that their experiences are so real. These patients, when they are describing their experiences, they are so real. They are definitely not under hallucination. They are definitely not under anesthesia. Because they feel that that life was more real and this bodily life is more temporary. These are the exact words they are using, the patients are using. That the life they experience after death was more real than this life which is there when in the present in the body. And the next thing they hear in the light, they want to be there, but they hear a sound, go back. You cannot remain here. You have to perform a lot of activities to come here. And many of these patients, they say that we argue, no, I don't want to go back. And we are told so many things that your relatives are there. One cesarean patient was telling that, I was told that you have just given birth to a baby. You know, don't you want to go back? And I said, no, this experience is so real that I don't want to go back. But you have to go back. And when they come back, some patients say that, oh, I feel I'm so huge. How will I fit in such a small body? But somehow or other they enter the body. And the research says that all these patients who have experienced near-death experience or out-of-body experience, their life does not remain same after this experience. They change. They change, the fear of death goes away. And they see that life has some higher meaning. There is some higher destination where we have to reach. And the relationship with others change. Why? Because they have seen the flashback video of their life. And they have experienced the pain which they gave to others and the happiness they gave to others. So now they don't want to give pain to others. They overcome their greed, anger, and the relationships improve. And most of them, if they are atheists, they become God-loving. They started believing more into yoga. These are the Western patients, but Indian patients also, they say that we became more God-conscious. So why am I talking to you about this research? Is basically, we all know this principle, that we are not the body, we are the spirit soul, and we have an eternal relationship with Krishna. So somehow or other, if we forget that relationship, and we get entangled into greed, anger, envy, not with outsiders, with our own co-devotees, then we actually are losing our direction, our goal. And another thing is, how do you develop, constantly develop your core Krishna consciousness? By sound vibration. Even in this near-death experiences you see, which is the sound which tells them, go back or come here. Similarly, it is a sound vibration which is more powerful in the form of hearing and chanting about Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's names. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Saddha Kabunoy Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karilo Adaya. Just by hearing attentively from a pure devotee, we can awaken our dormant love of Krishna. So one of the best ways of overcoming insecurity is by developing core Krishna consciousness by regularly hearing Shravanam and Kirtanam, by regularly hearing and chanting. And we can see this in the example of Parikshit Maharaj. The moment he came to know that he has a curse and he has only 7 days to live, he immediately, instead of becoming insecure about his possessions, who will get them, who will do that, he just withdrew himself and he started developing his core Krishna consciousness. The fourth point to overcome insecurity is to cultivate confidence and determination to serve Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes in one of the purport that a devotee doesn't care whether he is in hell or heaven. He is only interested in serving the Lord with great enthusiasm, patience and determination. So in whatever situation we are, if we continue to serve Krishna with our mood of being servant of servant of servant, then we can easily overcome insecurity. And the last point is, we seek Krishna's hands in success of everyone, whether it is our success or other's success. When we see that others who are successful, others, if somebody has something more than me, it may be some possession, sometimes it may be mercy. Sometimes we see that spiritual master or the leaders is giving mercy to a particular devotee. So instead of becoming upset or dissatisfied or envious of that person, we should see Krishna's hand in that mercy. That Krishna has abundant services. You can serve Krishna unlimitedly. There is no dearth of services and there is no dearth of opportunity to serve Krishna. And if you serve Krishna, you will get the mercy. So instead of becoming insecure, if you understand that the person who is successful, it is because he has been able to please Krishna. And without the presence of Krishna's hand, he cannot become successful. So if I am becoming envious of that person, I am actually becoming envious of Krishna. So if you understand this principle, then we can easily overcome insecurity. In this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada is also mentioning about how Krishna cared for cows and he protected cows. There is a beautiful story which we had heard from Rijvasis that Krishna loved cows so much that when first time Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj wanted Krishna to take care of the cows, there was on Gopashtami day they gave him charge of the cows. And Mother Yashoda woke him up in the morning, got him ready, gave him his breakfast. When she was getting him ready, and she gave him his shoes. And Krishna refused to wear his shoes. Mother Yashoda said, "Why? Why are you not wearing shoes? You are going to go in the forest. There will be pebbles, thorns, stones. It might hurt your feet." And what was the answer of little Krishna? Krishna said, "Mama, how many cows we have? 9 lakh cows. Each cow has how many feet? 4 feet. Can you make 36 lakh shoes for all the cows? If you will give shoes to all my cows, then only I will wear my shoes." And he refused to wear shoes. And as soon as the cows heard that Krishna is not wearing shoes, because they don't have shoes, all the cows started running happily. And what were they doing? With their hooves, they were crushing all the stones and pebbles into fine powder. And that's how the Raj of Vrindavan, Brajraj, is so soft. Because the cows understood that Krishna loves us so much that he doesn't want to wear shoes because we are not having shoes. So we, in reciprocation, they made the entire Raj or entire dust of Vrindavan so soft that when Krishna walks over that dust, he doesn't feel any pain. So we see that Krishna wants to always give protection. You all are doing such wonderfully cow protection in your own community. Such a wonderful goshala and taking care of the cows. But even I feel grihasthas who are staying in city, directly or indirectly, we can also give some donation for the cows, for cow protection. Or also, we can use the cow products. In India now, our Prime Minister has become very, very conscious that no slaughters of cows. But when there is no slaughtering of cows, there is another problem. If you don't slaughter the cows, then you have to maintain those cows when they stop giving milk. That means you need more donation. Or you may need the ways by which you can generate that Lakshmi. So there are many devotees who are working to making products from cow urine, cow dung, right from toothpaste to washing machine powder, to so many different things. And if devotees use them, directly or indirectly, they are supporting in that cow protection. So with this small discussion, I would like to end my talk here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.